나자이다나브라마니다나야야데이다고다나시바사디고
The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jayapataka Swami on June 3rd, 1985 at Nupani Hari Dham in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Bhagavad Gita, 7th chapter, verse 5.
These are two very important verses of the Bhagavad Gita, which describe briefly the material nature. As well as the spiritual nature, there is earth, water, fire, mind, intelligence, and false ego is the material nature. And then there is
higher, superior energy, which Krishna describes as the para-prakriti, or the superior energy. Does anyone know who this superior energy is? Anyone knows? Gopalaj? Close. Pardon? He said Shyamasunda. No, Shyamasunda is the source of all energies. So there's another superior energy higher than the material energy, which is known as the Jiva Bhuta. Someone know that Jiva Bhuta is? Who is that?
Buddha.
No, not Buddha. Can you help us out?
It is the living entity, Jiva.
Yes, Jiva, Bhuta, Bhuta, Jiva means
Jiva.
The Jiv, the Atma. The living entity. Living entity is of the higher reality. Higher energy, superior energy. So, Krishna is saying that these are all my energies. In fact, in verse 6 it states, all created beings have their source in these two natures, of all that is material and all that is spiritual in this world. Know for certain that I am both the origin and the dissolution. So Krishna is the origin, he is the dissolution. So, the superior energy or the living entity falsely identifies as this body and mind. And he's trying to control and enjoy the body and mind. And as a result, he becomes entangled. So, solution is that actually we are not the supreme controllers. We are not therefore totally in control of our environment. We are subject to the control of Krishna. So if we want to become happy, then it's better to willingly surrender to Krishna. Since we're not in control anyway. If we were in control, then we wouldn't be forced to suffer various types of miseries, even though we don't want to. Because we are forced to suffer, that is another way of humbling us, forcing us to recognize that there is a more superior power. So, the spiritual energy is known as the Tatastvaha Shakti, or the Madhya Shakti, the middle energy. Because we are between Radharani and between the material nature. We are between the internal potency and the external potency. Therefore, we are the middle potency. By nature, we are the same as the spiritual person, the spiritual potency, but we are very minute. So we can fall under the control of Maya. Our nature is to be controlled. So we are either able to put ourselves under the loving control of Krishna, or if we are not, then we are put under the harsh control of his jail keeper, this material nature known as Maya. So Prabhupada uses the example that a cat, when it catches its own kitten by the back of the neck, carries the kitten very gently. It's a different kind of carrying. When it catches the mouse, that's another type of catching. So when the material nature catches a non-devotee, it's a very harsh way of catching. When interacting with the devotees who have surrendered to Krishna, sometimes it appears they are under certain material controls. Naturally they are, but actually it's like the cat carrying his own kitten. That is Krishna's way of bringing the devotee to the proper consciousness. So here the Bhagavad Gita confirms that the living entity is one of the multi-energies of Krishna. And when this energy is freed from material contamination, it becomes fully Krishna conscious or liberated. So the goal of life is to become liberated from this material consciousness and to act in our pure spiritual consciousness, to be freed from this material contamination. As soon as a person even starts to understand that this body, with all of its defects and inefficiencies, is not our real identity, but that it is a temporary vehicle for the soul, and we are the actual soul, that alone is enough to immediately give some relief. But when one actually understands his relationship with Krishna and engages in devotional service as one of the parts of Krishna, then the real happiness begins. Savai pungsang paro dharmo yato bhakti radhokshaja ahaitu kapatihata yayatma supersedati. Hare Krishna. Questions? You are the higher energy. And Krishna is not the energy. He's the source of the energy. He's the Param Purusha or Supreme Person, Bhagavan. You are Jivatma. You are one of the spiritual energies of the Lord. So are you. So am I. So is each one of us. With us, we are the spirit soul situated in the heart of the body. Along with us accompanies a form of God known as the Paramatma or Super Soul. That is the description of two birds. That actually our best friend is the Lord. But like two birds, one bird is simply eating the fruits, the other bird is his friend, waiting for his friend to turn to him. But we are so absorbed in trying to enjoy this body and these senses that we are actually forgetting Krishna. We're neglecting our friend. But he's always ready to receive us again. Well, just like in this room, we have different size light bulbs. The video light bulb that's shining in my eyes is of a higher power, so it's blinding. Without eyes. These other little bulbs here, like little candle bulbs, those are maybe 7 watts, 10 watts. So different bulbs have different sizes. She says that the human being, you have got one power. And if you go up higher than you are the ghosts, they have 10 times. Higher than them are the Gandharvas, they've got 100 times. 10 more times than that, it means 100. Higher than them are the Kinaras. They have another 10 times. Chanaras, another 10 times. Siddhas, another 10 times. Then Asuras, they have another 10 times. Higher than them are the Devatas, or the demigods. They have again another 10 times more power than the next stage below. And of all the demigods, Indra is the most powerful of all. He has 100 times more. But more powerful than Indra by 1,000 times is Lord Brahma, who is the original creator of the universe. So Brahma says that even more powerful than him is a Brahmana, who is a self-realized human being. So if you become a self-realized human being, then you become more powerful even than a demigod in some ways. But as a human being without self-realization, we're just king of the animal. But the difference, these are different power, you take it, these are different power light bulbs. But Krishna or Vishnu is the powerhouse. Lord Shiva is an expansion of Krishna for a specific purpose, partial expansion. So if you become in touch with the powerhouse and you have unlimited capacity, then your potential is unlimited. Well, we're in Bhulok. Bhulok. Bhulok, there's Bhuva. Bhuva, we're in Bhuva. Next higher is Swarga. Swarga means Swarga or heavenly planets. There's 14 planetary systems. So we're number 7 out of 14 in terms of their. So anywhere up above this is considered heavenly planet. We're considered, you could say, the lowest middle planetary system, but it's at least in the top 7. Below this becomes more degraded and higher is more elevated. So all those levels, one by one, they're considered higher planetary systems or heavenly planetary systems, but the standard on one to the next is a little higher. It's like in Atlanta, this is what, Druid Hills? Supposed to be one of the higher levels. And he goes step by step. There might be a higher level, then there's a lower level. Somewhere there's a middle level. But it's all within the material universe. You see that maybe in Druid Hills the people have better lawns, bigger driveway. But still they have to worry about thieves, to worry so many tax collectors. Just that some problem are there. But maybe they don't have to worry as much as someone who's in another part of town where it's maybe even more dangerous. So in the heavenly planets, there's still problems, but less.
These are material heavens.
Right.
That's
spiritual heavens. No, so the point is that there's a spiritual world, and there's just one. In the spiritual world, there's not all these levels, as many levels. The spiritual world is absolute. Can be divided in two broad categories. The spiritual planets are in a majestic and in a loving, those two categories. Krishna's original abode is in the Krishna Loka, or Goloka Vrindavan, where the mood is of loving devotion. Then Narayana, the form of Krishna in a majestic form, lives in Vaikuntha. So in the spiritual world, there's no birth, there's no death, there's no material energy. It's all spiritual energy. When the souls get liberated from their bodies, they assume their original spiritual form and can reside in the spiritual world. Because your spiritual form is dormant, you're residing now in your material body. When your body dies, again you take another birth. And this way you continue.
You see the reincarnation.
Correct.
is an inevitable reincarnation. I mean, the soul reincarnates the different. It's possible that you reincarnate to lower animals like dogs, cats.
What verse is Yan Yang Vapi Smang Mavet? Yang Yang Vapi Smarang Bala Bhavam Tyajadante Kalevaram Tang Tang Evaiti Kunteya Sadatad Bhava Bhavitaha. Translation. Whatever state of being one remembers when he quits his body, O son of Kunti, that state he will attain without fail. Goparaj, read the purport.
The process of changing one's nature at the critical moment of death is here explained. A person who at the end of his life quits his body thinking of Krishna attains the transcendental nature of the Supreme Lord. But it is not true that a person who thinks of something other than Krishna attains the same transcendental state. This is a point we should note very carefully. How can one die in the proper state of mind? Maharaj Virata, although a great personality, thought of a deer at the end of his life, and so in his next life he was transferred into the body of a deer. Although as a deer he remembered his past activities, he had to accept that animal body. Of course, one's thoughts during the course of one's life accumulate to influence one's thoughts at the moment of death. So this life creates one's next life. In one's present life, one lives in the mode of goodness and always thinks of Krishna. It is possible for one to remember Krishna at the end of one's life. That will help one be transferred to the transcendental nature of Krishna. If one is firmly absorbed in Krishna's service, then his next body will be transcendental or spiritual, not material. Therefore, the chanting of Hare Krishna is the best process for successfully changing one's state of being at the end of one's life.
So depending on how a person is thinking when he leaves the body, if they have a desire to enjoy the happiness which is available as an animal, then they can become an animal. But if someone's interested in self-realization, in spiritual life, then that's not available in animal lives. So then there's a good chance you can become a human being. Again, at least. And if you practice some of this spiritual science, if you're successful, you go back to the spiritual world. If you don't complete, then you take birth in one of the heavenly planets for a long time. Then after that, again, you come back down to the earth. You take birth in a family, which is better of human beings who are either rich or yogis or brahmanas. So you've got everything to gain and nothing to lose by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Any other questions? Vijay? Normally. If they die a natural death, that's why killing an animal disrupts their natural evolution. It's like a prison term, or it's like they have to take a certain amount of years in that form of animal. So when you kill the animal, then it means that again they have to take birth as an animal to finish off the period of time required in that body. When they die a natural death and they get to go up to the next level. So killing animals disrupts their evolutionary process in terms of their spiritual progress. Therefore it creates a bad karma. And the human species from the animal, cows, tigers, and monkeys become human beings in their next lives. Cows as human beings in the mode of goodness, tigers as human beings in the mode of passion, and monkeys as human beings in the mode of ignorance. So therefore, to disrupt a cow's evolution is very
bad karma, much very detrimental karma for many reasons. They follow their nature. They get a certain body, react in a certain way according to their karma. The animals are not, don't have a discretionary capability. Therefore, they don't create any karma. It's just like the tigers that turn man-eaters. Normally, they don't turn man-eaters. It's not their nature. When they become very old, or weak, or wounded, they can't catch anything else. Human beings are easier prey than a tiger, I mean than a deer. Then, because of some unusual circumstance, they may become man-eaters. Yes? Human birth is special. Animal birth, they don't produce new karma. So they naturally go from one species, like say a bird becomes an animal. From cat to dog to horse, like that, they go up one species by the next. So they have to finish off their period in that particular species. What you're talking about as a human being, it's all within the same species. So human being actually is able to produce karma. That means that a human being, whatever they do, they have to take a reaction for that. So if a child is born and dies right away, that means that there was a karma that they had to suffer. Maybe in a previous life they had killed a baby. So therefore as a baby they died. Or there may be many reasons. It's very complicated to say exactly why these things happen. As a human being, sometimes if a human baby is born, I mean to a human child is born and the parents are devotees and they feed the child charanamrit or chant the Hare Krishna mantra to the child, that may be enough to finish all the karma of the child that may leave the body and go back to the spiritual world. So in a baby or an adult is the same, it's just the body is less or more developed.
But when the soul comes back again and takes on another body, the karma has been erased from the last time, the bad karma.
Some.
Okay, some.
Right.
All of it can be gone.
Just.
Okay.
So when all your karma is gone,
you're gone.
Then you're liberated.
Oh.
And you go back to the spiritual world. It's just like it says, just like we change clothes. Maybe for the hot weather now we're wearing shorts, and when we want to go out for some special occasion, then you go back and put on a formal dress. You can change clothes, but the person's the same. Like that, in the body, the living force is you. And you may change bodies, but the living force remains the same. The changing bodies is just like when a pair of clothes becomes old and worn, you put on new clothes. That's mentioned in the second chapter. Pardon? Huh? 30. No, it's not the one I wanted. Text 22, page 104. Found it? Vasansi jenani yata vihaya navani grinati naroparani tata sarirani vihaya jenani anyani sanyati navani dehi. Like to read the Janma Siddha, I mean the Yoga Siddha? Can you understand that? Just like when you're sleeping, your mind leaves the body and you dream and you go different places. So the mind is more subtle than the body. More fine than the mind is the soul. And the soul is the actual energy which makes the body appear alive. When the soul leaves the body is just an empty shell, a carcass, cadaver. Doesn't have any more beauty. So what's the difference? What's missing? Here you have a live body, the next minute you have a dead body. What's the difference? Why is a live body beautiful to look at, interesting, and the dead body is different? What's missing? The body will no longer be very valuable. As long as you're in the body is very valuable. All right. So, when a person is sleeping and they're dreaming, the mind leaves the body. But it's connected to the body by a thin silver cord, subtle cord. That's why sometimes if someone's asleep dreaming and if you suddenly wake them up and they get real startled, it may kill them. Because actually they're outside the body. But they're connected with the body psychically. That's why people are supposed to be woken up gently. Then, just in a second, they come back to their body. But they're connected with the body at that time. But if that connection is cut, sometimes yogis and different people, they leave their body on the psychic plane. But if they get severed from the connection of their body, then it's very dangerous. They can die. So when we talk about leaving the body, when we leave the body totally, that's known as death for the body. But for the soul, there's no death. So the body, the soul, always will go somewhere. Either it will take another birth. It enters into the womb at the time of conception. And then that's a new birth. And the time it's in the womb, it's like sleeping. Just like when you sleep at night, you sleep for 12 hours or 6 hours. So when you're in the womb, you're sleeping for 7 months, 9 months. You wake up, you forget what was your previous, just like you forget yesterday, what happened last year. So to speak, when you're sleeping for 9 months, you forget your whole previous birth. But sometimes little babies can remember their previous lives. Many psychologists and scientists have recorded those informations and researched them. So the thing is to reawaken our spiritual awareness by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That vibration is especially meant to awaken our spiritual consciousness. So that way you will be able to transcend these material sufferings and to achieve liberation, to achieve Krishna. So do you chant Hare Krishna? Will you? Thank you very much. Do we have any cards? I heard there were some cards made up. I was told that they were printed up. The last question. He has some. Some Samskaraputras. They're in the side bed. In the front part.
Give your concept of your opinion of worshiping the Holy Ghost and the
Alright. Action. I just met recently, about 4 days ago, in Quito, Ecuador, with the Archbishop of the Roman Catholic Church there. And we discussed in their theology, they have the Father, the Holy Ghost, and the Son. So in the Krishna conscious Vedic Vaishnav philosophy, we also have the Param Purusha, or the Supreme Person. Krishna describes in the Bhagavad Gita, Ahang Bija Pratapita, I am the seed-giving father of all living entities. And he has an expansion. They say the nature of the Holy Ghost is that Holy Ghost is present everywhere, all pervasive. So in the Vedas it describes that the Paramatma, or the Super Soul, is all-pervasive. And they say that the Son of God means that He's a manifestation of God in the earth. And so there's a similar Shaktavish Avatar, or Guru Tattva, which is actually Krishna Himself manifested in this world to uplift. So in this way, the correlation between Father, Holy Ghost, and Son, the Christian Trinity, it was that the Holy Ghost was actually the Super Soul, or the all-pervasive Vishnu. They say the ghost, they say Holy Ghost, so that obviously that's different. A ghost, they say when a man commits suicide because he doesn't want to have a material body, he's suffering. So as a reaction, when we die, our subtle body, mind, intelligence, and false ego takes us into the womb, into the next birth. But this person, because he didn't want a body, he killed himself. That means he killed his body, destroyed his body. As a karma for that, sometimes they don't get another body. They have to wander about without a body. Those are called ghosts. So, it's a very hellish kind of existence, and for that, in case our mother and father or someone might be stuck in that kind of a position, there are certain Vedic rituals, offerings we make to Krishna on their behalf, so that they'll be freed from the karma for that, and they can go on and take another birth. Because that's like a limbo state, where one is stuck up in between births. They want to enjoy the senses, but they have got no body. So they can't do it. They have a subtle body, but they have no gross body. They have no senses. So sometimes they take over intoxicated people or drunk people's bodies, and through their senses they enjoy. Or if a person goes to sleep at night and one's not clean, one doesn't wash the mouth, the feet, the face, the hands, or otherwise is not in a clean state, and they can enter through the dirt of a person. And usually a person who is being disturbed by a ghost when they're asleep, they'll start to drool from the side of their mouth. It's a symptom that someone's being haunted by a ghost at that time. Through their senses, they may try to enjoy some kind of material gratification by going into someone's body. That's not, some people get confused that it's like reincarnation, something like that. You enter into someone else's body. It's not reincarnation. Reincarnation means you take a new birth. The time of conception, you enter into the womb and have a new birth. So I brought a special card for people who are going to begin chanting Hare Krishna or are chanting from India, which I'd like to present you. Two, one for each. Called the Samskar Patra, or the Order of Lord Chaitanya. On the back of the card, it gives the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Below that, there's another mantra which can give one special mercy of Lord Chaitanya to be able to chant Hare Krishna without any mistakes and impediments. Can you see it starts with the word Jaya? Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gora Bhakta Vrinda. So you chant, or first Lord Chaitanya's name is an invocation, then Hare Krishna. So we like to present this card in the front. It says there, let it be known that the highly fortunate Sri or Srimati, Sri is for men, Srimati is for women. Mati, Srimati means mother. Has accepted the holy order of Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and thus will try to chant at least 108 times daily the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra to achieve real happiness in life. 108 times means about 8 minutes a day. It takes about 7 to 8 minutes to chant 108 times. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So do you think that in a day you can chant 10 minutes a day? Well, we recommend up to 2 hours a day, up to 16 times. But in the beginning, this is a good start. You can start, if you have time, do a half hour. There's no limit. It's very good. So if you like to fill it out, then even we can keep a record on your spiritual progress. In the back it says the spiritual progress record. I am presently chanting. Or I'd like to be a vegetarian. Or I have interest in some of these. Now this card is from Bangalore, India, so some of the things might not be appropriate. If anything there is of any interest to you, you can just check it. Like preaching Krishna consciousness in the following areas. Worldwide, Asia, India. When it says Karnataka or Bangalore, actually it's meant local, in your own hometown. So then I sign the one half, and you get to keep it. And that will keep this, then it'll have the, or have the site that has the Hare Krishna mantra on it. Anything that's applicable. Like under three it says, I have an interest in the following, preaching, how much time can you give, or serving in the ashram, or serving in the home. Like you might like to do some home worship, or other. Other means, you put in that blank, anything else you'd like to do at home. Basically, three categories. Preaching, serving in the ashram, and serving in the home. That's just for the spiritual reference. And then I'll give you a cookie.